We're going to start by asking a question. Who is this babe in a manger? Well, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, we're going to find the answer. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's who he is. Now, my first question to you this morning is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? And my second question is he your Lord? Is he Lord of your tongue? Is he Lord of your time? Is he Lord of your treasure? Is he Lord of your talent? Is he Lord of your life? Now, when a pious Jew would come to this word for Lord, and he was transcribing or translating the scriptures from one piece of parchment to another, when he came to this word, he would bow his head and he would worship. He wouldn't even pronounce this word because he held it in such reverence and in such awe. When a scribe was writing this, he would put down the old pen that he was using, pick up a new pen that had never been used before, just to write that one word. That's how much reverence they had for this word. Jesus is Lord. Now, for shepherds to bow and worship him is an amazing thing, but what about the Gentiles? What did it mean for them to worship Jesus as Lord? You know, Rome held sway over the world at this time. The emperor was Caesar, and he was more than an emperor to the people. He was a god. And in order to get along in the kingdom, people had to declare Caesar Kurios, Caesar is Lord. This is the reason why so many Jews and Gentile Christians were put to death. You know, they could have gotten along splendidly in the kingdom if they just would have said, Jesus is a God. But they wouldn't do that. They said, I think it's Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's why they were thrown into the lion's den there in the Colosseum in Rome. Now, my question to you this Christmas is Jesus your Lord? If he is, then three things are true. First, the confession of his lordship secures salvation. The principle behind that confession is this: we cannot receive what Jesus gives, salvation, and refuse who he is, Lord. We cannot receive what Jesus gives and refuse who he is. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, it says, and the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is the great need in the world today? Is it information? Folks, we're drowning in a sea of information today. If we needed information, then God would have sent us an educator. If we needed technology, God would have sent us an engineer. If we needed money, God would have sent us an economist. If we needed leisure, then God would have sent us an entertainer. But our great need is salvation, so God sent us a Savior. It's an amazing thing that God sent his message through humble shepherds. You know, Herod never understood the mighty king. But humble shepherds understood the message. Why? Because God had hidden these things from the wise and prudent and had revealed them to babes. If you want to understand who Jesus is today, then you're going to have to lay your intellectual pride in the dust and believe. We sing, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The confession of his lordship secures salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what is the confession? The confession is, Jesus is Lord. If Christ is not your Lord, you're not saved. You don't accept him as Savior. You accept him. When I married Becky, I didn't accept her as a housekeeper. Now, she's a good housekeeper, but that's not what I accepted. I accepted her. I said, I do to her. I gave all of me to all of her. And since we got married 43 years ago, I've learned a whole lot more about her and quite a bit more about me. And when you come to Jesus, you can't come with your fingers crossed behind your back and say, well, I'll have a little saviorhood, please, but no lordship, thank you. That's not going to work. It's not a cafeteria line where you pick and choose what you want and leave the rest behind. Spurgeon said this, and I'll quote him. If the convert declares that he knows the Lord's will but doesn't mean to attend to it, it is your duty to assure him that he is not saved. Don't imagine the gospel magnified or God glorified by going to worldlings and telling them that they may be saved at this moment by simply accepting Christ as their Savior while they're wedded to their idols and their hearts are still in love with sin. If I do so, I tell them a lie, and I pervert the gospel, and I insult Christ, and I turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. A lot of wisdom in those words. Christ didn't tell us that we're saved by, Spurgeon didn't tell us that we're saved by good works. He's saying that you're saved by someone who is the Lord. You can't have a come-in Savior and a stay-out Lord. This doesn't work like that. Why did Jesus settle the dust of Jerusalem with his blood that day? Romans 14, verse 9. Says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Lord of the dead and the living. So the confession of his lordship secures salvation. Salvation is by grace, but God does not save rebels. Have you bowed your knee to Christ? I don't care what you believe about him, but have you bowed your knee to him? You can't accept what Jesus gives and refuse who Jesus is. Here's the second thing. The confession of Christ as Lord simplifies service. We can't accept him as Lord and then serve any other master. If Jesus is Lord, he's your master. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, that's the last independent decision you'll ever make. Did you hear that? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Master, that's the last independent decision you'll ever make. Think about it. From that point on, he's your master. Luke chapter 2, verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Their lives were transformed. I've never tried, folks, to please all of the members of any church I've ever pastored. I only have one person that I have to please. And if I please him, that's just going to have to be good enough for you. He's the one and only one that we serve. We don't serve people, we serve Jesus. Now, one of the ways we serve Jesus is by serving people, but we don't serve people in the primary place. We serve Jesus in the primary place. The question is, the question we have to answer is the same one Paul had to answer on the road to Damascus. He asked Jesus, "What do you want me to do? Who are you and what do you want me to do?" The confession of Christ simplifies service. The best advice anybody ever gave is the advice Mary gave to the people at the wedding at Cana. You remember the story? They were running out of wine, and Mary says, "Can't you do something?" And Jesus, Mary said of Jesus, says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." That's good advice. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, you just do it. You know, if I please Jesus, it doesn't matter who I displease. And if I displease Jesus, it doesn't matter who I please. The way to please Jesus is to obey him. He says, "Those who love me, obey me." Look at Luke 9, verses 57 through 60. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, 'Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.'" We have God we trust, in God we trust on our money, but we have me first in our hearts. Verse 61 through 62, "And another said, 'Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first.'" You see it? "'Go bid them farewell which are at home and at my house.' And Jesus said unto him, 'No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" If Jesus doesn't come first, folks, he doesn't come at all. No man can serve two masters. Lordship means that he comes first. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." When you say it and mean it, that Jesus Christ is Lord, it secures your salvation and it simplifies your service. And here's the third thing. The confession of Christ as Lord subdues Satan. We need not fear what Satan does when we know who Jesus is. Satan hopes you never discover what you have in you when Jesus lives in your heart. In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, "And the angel said unto them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.'" There is one fear that removes all other fears, and that's the fear of God. This baby was born that he might take away all other fear. When the scriptures say that he is Christ the Lord, that means he's the Messiah. Messiah came to crush Satan's kingdom. The very first prophecy in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. The very first prophecy, it says, "And the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity," that's warfare, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." The old rabbis would look at that verse and scratch their heads because they didn't understand it. It says he would put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. A woman doesn't have seed. Man has seed. Adam's not mentioned at all in this prophecy. It's the seed of the woman and her descendants who will be at warfare with the descendants of Satan. The descendants of the serpent will bruise the heel of this woman's child. But God says he's going to crush your head, Satan. The seed of a virgin shall crush the head of Satan. When you receive that child into your heart, you have a power in you that is awesome. You say, well, I'm not afraid of the devil. That's not good enough. Is he afraid of you? He should be. The confession of Christ as Lord subdues Satan. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him, talking about Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What's your testimony? I'll tell you what your testimony is. Jesus is Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Why did Jesus step out of glory and take on flesh and blood? He did it so he could die. Look, God's a spirit. A spirit can't die. Jesus had to take on flesh so that he could bleed and die as your substitute sacrifice on the cross. And in so doing, he brought Satan's kingdom crashing down. When you truly make Jesus as your Lord, you're going to find that Satan will actually cower before you. Satan trembles before the genuine child of God. People say, well, Pastor, when I get saved, what do I do about that old crowd that I used to hang out with? Do I leave them? No. If you start confessing Christ and living with him as Lord, they'll leave you. You'll have to chase them down in order to tell them about Jesus. You're going to say, here comes that religious nut again. And you're going to say, I may be a religious nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. And you're not. And you need to be. The confession of Christ as Lord secures salvation. It simplifies service and it subdues Satan. And I come right back to the original question I asked at the beginning of this message. Is Jesus your Lord? It's one thing to say that Jesus is Lord, but it's entirely another thing to say Jesus is my Lord. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. Friend, there's not a better time on the calendar than to give your heart to Jesus Christ on this very day that we memorialize his coming into the world to save us. Wouldn't it be great to be saved on the day that the Prince of Salvation came? Listen, if you've never given your heart to Christ, I hope you'll come today. And if you have given your heart to Christ and you need to rededicate yourself to him, this would be a good day for that too. Listen, the invitation is for any need that you have. And what number are we going to sing?
349.
349 is our number. I hope you'll stand to your feet, that you'll sing that invitation. But more than anything, I want you to listen to that still small voice of God and just do what he says. Be obedient to whatever he's calling on you to do. Would you do that? I hope so. Do it as we sing.
Have thine own.
You may be seated for just a moment. You know, a lot of you have seen this guy right here all over this church because he serves in such an amazing way. He built that prayer garden pergola out there, and he takes care of cleaning and the light bulbs. And I mean, if there's something that needs to be done, he's going to be there doing it. But what you may not know is Joe's not a member of this church. Never has been. And so we've been talking about this. Gloria's been praying about this for a long, long time.
I've had help.
But Joe and I decided we were going to meet in my office this morning, and we've talked about things before, but we were going to talk about the nitty-gritty this morning. And Joe had a similar experience to me growing up. I mean, he was in church, but nobody ever bothered to tell him how to get saved. Same thing happened to me. I'd been involved in church for years, and nobody ever told me how to get saved, and I had to go off to college at OSU, and two total strangers came and showed me how to get saved. And so when Joe came to the office this morning, I said, Joe, we all need a landmark, some moment in time that we can point to where we can say, God, this is the moment, this is the time, and I'm going to declare this time as the day I've surrendered my heart and life to you, and I'll always have that as my rock. And I asked Joe, I said, do you want to set down that landmark today? And he said, I sure do. And so Joe and I prayed this morning. Joe asked Jesus to come into his heart, and he wants to serve Jesus from this day forward, and he wants to be baptized, but he's going to get some affairs in order and, you know, get some family invited and do some things like that. So we'll set the time for that later on. But if you rejoice in the fact that Jesus knows beyond any shadow of a doubt he's saved today and that he wants to become a member of Webb Baptist Church, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Been looking forward to this for a long time, and so they're going to be up here. Let's see, Becky, why don't you come up here and stand with Gloria and
Craig.
Where's Craig? Yeah, all right, Craig, you come up here and stand with Joe, and when we dismiss, you'll want to come and give them the right hand of fellowship this morning, and so rejoice in Joe's decision. All right. Gary, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hey, let's have a word of prayer. Or do we sing first? I'm confused. I ought to know this. I'm going to pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this good news this morning. Thank you for Joe and Gloria and what wonderful people they are and what wonderful work they've been doing for you. And Lord, we thank you that now he's doing it in your name, and we rejoice. Thank you for your blessing, your goodness. Be with us today as maybe spend time with family, or just bless us and help us to be grateful for all that you've done for us. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. So now let's join our hands and sing.
We are one.